All right. Nations and generations are at the center of God's heart. Do you agree with me? Why? Why would you say the nations and generations are at the center of God's heart? It's not a trick question. Because he wants? Exactly. God's desire is for man, for all of mankind, to be saved. God doesn't want one man. He doesn't want one woman. He doesn't want one child to die the second death. And therefore, at the center of God's heart, we can see that the nations are important. We can see that generations are important. I love when we look at the generational part of things. Do you know that if you're a parent today, and even if you aren't a parent, but you will become one day, or if you find yourself being a teacher, or if you find yourself in any other social environment where you've got younger people looking up at you, do you know that if you take a stone and that you drop it into a pond, or if you drop it into water, what is the very first thing that you see happening? Yeah, there's a ripple effect. Now, if you take that ripple effect and you draw a diagram of time over it, from the day that you've dropped it and you go 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 100 years, 200 years, you will see that that ripple effect will have an effect from the day that you've dropped it until 200 years from now. You understand that? So the input, the things that you will give, the things that you will show, the things that you will demonstrate, the way you live your life will have a great effect on young people, small, teenager, and young adult into the future. Now, I love the way the world thinks. The world thinks this way. All right, you need to get a job. You need to go and study. You need to get a job. You need to be successful in life. You need to make money. Then once you've got money, then you need to get a good wife. And then you can go and buy yourself a house, a car. Then you can have children. And then the merry picket white fence. And so we can go on. But that's a worldly understanding. Friends, hear me. This is a worldly understanding. Am I saying that you shouldn't study, that you shouldn't? No, I'm not saying that. What am I saying? I'm saying that the world will ascribe or describe to you a certain way of doing things. But what does God say? God says to you that you need to seek Him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and all these things that the Gentiles seek after, He will give unto you. That's our God. God wants to give. He is a Father. We just heard with Rolf's testimony and with Cherie's testimony that God is a God that wants to give. He wants to give to His children. He wants to bless us. But what does He want from us? All that He wants is He wants our hearts. He wants us to be obedient unto Him. That's it. That's it. So with a generation, if we do not sow into a generation today, we will have a lost generation. We will have a lost generation. And I love the way the word places this. It's the word of God says that when we anoint deacons, when we anoint overseers or bishops or someone like that, there's a certain prescribed couple of tick boxes that these guys need, or loops that they need to jump through. Holy loops, let's call it holy loops. Which is important. Why? Why is it important? It's so that the baton that gets passed over from one generation to the next generation, because it cost Christ much. We sang a song earlier on this morning. We sang that we will never know. Until we stand before Him, we will never know what it actually cost Christ to give up His life. But the day that we stand before Christ and we behold His glory in fullness, where He sits upon His throne, then we will understand, oh my word, now I understand the fullness of who Jesus Christ really is. So therefore, when God wants to give, and I lost my thought completely now, can you believe it? I don't know why. Where was I? Yes, thank you. So the reason why we give the baton over is so that we can give it to men and women that is trusted, that we will know that will run the race and that will run it well. So that this the gospel, the good news, will be taken from one generation to another generation and to another generation. And there is purpose for that, and we will look at it just now. Why nations? Why do you think nations are at the heart of God? Isn't He called the King of Kings? Isn't He called the Lord of Lords? Do you not think that when the nations start worshiping Him as a whole, that it will be His kingdom being established on earth? Are you still with me? Is it hot in here? Are you all asleep? All right. Can we go to there? All right, so why go back. Why generations? It is God's will that all men should come to salvation. Godly offspring. Let's look at godly offspring. When God created Adam and Eve, what was the reason for that? Is to reproduce. And when God saw that Eve was made good and that Adam was made splendid and the best way. Okay, I'm just joking. When He saw that both of them were made in His image, He said, "Man, I love these two people." And what did He say? He said to them, "Listen, go and multiply. Go and make plenty children. Because in that I will bless you." For what reason? So that the whole earth will be filled with God's offspring, godly offspring, so that the whole world will come to the full knowledge and understanding of who this great and mighty, majestic God is. For what reason? So that the whole earth will worship Him and Him alone. That's why we were created. We were created to have relationship with God, but to worship Him as well. Amen? So godly offspring. So if we do not reach generations, if we bring it back to home, if we look at our little children that are here to this morning, if we do not sow into their lives Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, if we do not sow into their lives the gifts of the Spirit, if we do not sow into their lives agape love, think about this. Where will they be in a year? Where will they be in the next 5 years? Where will they be in the next 10? Where will they be in the next 20? We can see that society is morally degrading. Why? Because we've taken God out of schools. We've taken God out of every aspect of life. And what happens is it opens the door to who? To the devil. Disobedience comes in. And where disobedience is, guess what happens? Sinners, disobedience is the body. I want to say the dog. And you know what the tail is? Sin. Sin follows disobedience. Sin is the fruit of disobedience. Disobedience is the tree. Could you remember in 2014 when I gave, well, not 2014, now we're going into the future, but in 1914 when I preached this, there was a sermon in 1914. That's how long ago I preached it. Yeah. So, where the sermon came through, where we spoke on this, where we said that, what is disobedience? We spoke about Abel and we spoke about Cain. Can you remember that? Not really, because it was so long ago. Okay. So what happens is we see that the tree is what? The tree is disobedience, and the fruit that it will produce is the sin in our lives. And if we take God out of it, the generations will fall. All that we need to do is we just need to look into the world. We just need to look into the States. We need to look into Europe. We need to look into Asia. We need to look just around. We actually just need to look in Cape Town itself, and we will see that God is non-existent. His rule and His reign, His righteousness, the stamp that God sets upon all humanity is not there. Generations, godly offspring. Further, and to preserve the gospel for generations to come, we spoke about the baton, to establish God's rule and righteous reign on the earth. And nations will be changed by a godly generation. I love this. That's why I just threw the two around. I didn't want to put the nations and then generations, because what I wanted to do is I wanted to build this thing up I'm not saying that the word is wrong or whatsoever. All that I'm saying is if we can change a nation, like if we can change a generation, if we can start with a couple of kiddies that we have here, if we can start with ourselves, if we can start with our own generation, just think the next generation, that will be, they will then add and they will start duplicating. And the more we duplicate, guess what will happen? The nation of South Africa will be what? Will be one for Christ. For we will be a redeemed, God-fearing nation. And you will see how we will prosper. You will see that we will prosper. Because why? Because we are in right standing and we are in fear of the living God. Amen? Amen. So nations will be changed if we can raise up a godly generation. Next slide. The nations. It is God's will that all men would come to salvation. It is God's heart that all nations, tribes, and tongues will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Where do we find that? We find that in, I know the Bible and I can't remember, but I think it was in Revelation. This is where we find this. It's the heart of God is that all the nations, every tribe and every tongue will come and bow their knee before Him and acknowledge Him for who He is. Amen? That's God's heart, people. And why is that God's heart? It's because He sent Christ. Amen? Amen. Good. I'm the only one getting excited. Establish God's rule and righteous reign on the earth. Next slide. So who will God use? Don't read there. Look at me. If you read there, I will make you to stand up. No, I'm just joking. Really, I'm just joking. Who will God use? Us. Exactly. Us. In Romans 10:14, it says, how then shall they call on Him? Who is they? Who is the they? No, not we, because we know Christ. How will they know? It's the nations. It's the people who are oblivious to this King of glory. It's the people that reject Jesus. How then shall they call on Him? How then will they call, pray on Him? In whom they have not believed. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Can we read that together? I want us to read that together as a church. Because I think there's a lot of heaviness, if I want to call it that. There's a lot of depth within this, which we as the Church of Christ normally just, we look past this. We look past this. Can I tell you why? Because we are secure. We are secure. When last was the time when you walked into your marketplace or into a social environment, into a gym, and you walked up to a person and you can see, man, this guy or this woman is really, they're just carrying the world upon their shoulders. And when you walked up to them, you just went, sorry, what's your name? Karin. Karin. I can see there's obviously something bothering you, troubling you. There's a burden upon your shoulders. Can you just tell me what it is? I know I don't know you, but I also don't want to intrude, but and as they start speaking, you know what you do is you bring the Holy Spirit into that situation. And you pray and you listen. And all that you do is you just bring the King of Glory straight into that area. You know what happens? The next time that person sees you, there's a smile. I want to give you this testimony. There's a man in a wheelchair. Well, he's not that small. He's in a wheelchair. And at gym at Cape Gate. And one of his, I think it was his right leg that's been amputated. And you can see this man is just, he really carries the world upon his shoulders. You can see this. So what happens is, God tells me, JJ, you need to go and just pray for this guy. And I'm like, Noit. Oh. And I'm, Noit, Lord. It's like, this is the gym. I'm here to gym. Any case. And I'm being vulnerable. I'm being transparent. I never did it. So the very next morning, there's a guy, I know I've seen him somewhere, but in any case, I don't know who it is. And he's standing at the swimming pool, and this guy's looking at the swimming pool, and he walks up to him, and he grabs him by the shoulder, and he says to him, "Hi, sir, what's your name?" "Okay, you can greet me, hello." So he goes, "Hi, sir, what's your name?" And it's a German guy. And it's a German guy that's been involved with Reinhard Bonnke. And he says to him, "What happened to your leg?" And this guy just starts speaking to him. And you can see the guy's really interested in what this guy's got to say. And there the condemnation, not the condemnation, there the Holy Spirit just comes and just whips me. Well, God whips me. He doesn't whip you, all right? And he says to me, "JJ, I told you." And I'm just looking at this and I'm seeing what's happening. And this man's crying and the guy's praying for him. And there was an area in this man's life where he just needed to hear that God is still there for him. And you know, 3 days afterwards, I was stretching. And here this guy's coming on his little wheelchair closer to this specific guy that prayed for him that day. And he said to him, "Excuse me, sir, excuse me." And he's like, "Rrr." And as he gets to him, he says, "What is your name? I just want to say to you, no one has ever prayed for me. I just want to say thank you. And here I am, I'm listening to it." And listen, it's definitely not by chance that I'm lying there stretching and God's bringing these people right there. Why? Because he's trying to tell me something. We have God within us. And if we are safe and if we are secure, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be reaching out to people. People want to be touched by the Holy Spirit. People want an interaction with Jesus Christ. Do you know that the world out there is a lonely place? Here this poor man comes in. Nobody wants to help him, but he's wiggling and wangling himself throughout the equipment. And I feel ashamed telling you this story. But I struggle with exactly the same fears as what you struggle with. It's the fear of man. That fear of rejection. But if we're not going to do it, who will? No one. And can I tell you something? The devil. I tell you, the devil and his angels and his army, they are quite willing to take a chance. Wherever they see a gap, they will go for it. They will go for it. They will take any chance. Just think, if somebody else went to this young or to this old man and just listen, what happened? "Oh, my leg got up. Maybe diabetes or something." "Oh, well, you know what? God doesn't love you." In that time, in that place, this whole man's will is imploded. So who will God use? He will use us. Can we read that scripture together? Is it good? Amen? Good. So how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now I want you to turn to the person to the left and to your right. And I want you to tell them, God will use you. Okay, now listen to me. That's extremely convincing. That's extremely convincing. God will use you. No, this is what we're looking for. God will use you. That's what we want. Can we do that? Good, let's go for it. Amen. Amen. That's much better. Now there's passion. Hey, can you feel it? Now what I want you to do is, I want you to find out the person's name next to you. Great. All right. I must say, the reason why he spoke so loud is because his mom is deaf. So it's fine. All right. Any case, no, I'm just joking. All right. So find out the person's name next to you. And what you now do is now we are becoming more personal. Now what you're going to say is you're going to look that person in his eyes and you're going to take his hand. Give me your hand, Rainier. And you're going to say, "Rainier, God has called you for a purpose and he's going to use you. God is going to use you to reach nations and generations. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Amen. That's what I want us to do. Can we do it? And we want to hear you. Amen. All right, so who is God going to use?
Us.
Let's try that again. Who is God going to use?
Us.
God is going to use you. God is going to use me. Amen?
Amen.
And if I don't open up my mouth, and if you don't open up your mouth, and if we are not moved into action, guess what's going to happen? Zilch. Exactly. God's going to use me to listen to other people's works. And I don't want that. I don't want to listen to other people's works. I want to be on the front line. I want to bring. I just want to be a conduit. I just want to bring the kingdom of God unto people's lives. Amen? Amen. So how do we go about reaching nations and generations? Good question. Psalm 2 verse 8. We heard Pastor Fred quote that earlier on. He says, "Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possessions." Ask me. What does ask me mean? Ask me. So, I can't see God, but I know He's there. So God says, ask me. So does that mean prayer? Does that mean pray unto me? And I will give you the nations of this earth. Does that say that? So pray. Pray. Now pray lacks within today's church. And it's not condemning. It's just facts. We are not committed to praying anymore. Daniel sits in a place called where? Babylon. And yet within the midst of all this ungodly heathen things going around and the decree of the king going out, for you will not pray, you will not bow down to anything else, what happens? Daniel makes it a point and he says, I will not listen to you, for I will fear God, for my heart is for you and my heart is for my nation. For my heart is for your godly rule and reign. And he goes and prays three times a day. And guess what? That brought him into deep, deep trouble. That even got him persecuted, that he was placed in a den of lions. So guess what? If we want God's kingdom, if we want God's rule, God's reign, if we want to see God's plans and purposes, if we're going to ask God for the nations, persecution will come. But stand strong, because Christ is behind you. So therefore, we have got this little pamphlet called Seek My Face. I got this made up a couple of months back, and Christu and them helped us with this. And I want each and every one of you to take one, please. This is good stuff. This will help you, and this will teach you, and this will guide you on how to pray for an hour nonstop. Nonstop. This is good stuff. I'm going to start using this. Seek His face through calling on the name of the Lord. Seek His face by praying for personal revival. And there's little time limits to it, but there's also, what do you call it, little subtitles underneath it for what we can pray. And it's all scriptural based. Then it goes, seek His face for unsaved families, friends, and individuals where you can write in their names. Seeking His face for His glory to be revealed in the church. And then you can write a couple of things down there. And seek His face for the church. Seeking His face for your own personal needs. Seek His face through watching and listening. Seek His face by praying the word. Man, I love that. Seeking His face for breakthrough and His intervention in the following global challenges. Amen? Wow. Seek His face for the nations. For an outpouring of His Holy Spirit on the church. Seek His face for leaders and pastors. Seek His face for the youth Seek his face for reconciliation of people with himself and for others. Seek his face for deliverance of people from witchcraft and idolatry. Seek his face by praise and worship. Friends, I want to encourage you. There are quite a couple at the back. If you don't have one, please don't leave this morning without taking one. Because we can see, even with a prophetic challenge or the prophetic season, not challenge, season, that God has got us in, God is saying to us, we need to pray. We need to ask him. And as he starts asking, it doesn't say that he might. It says he will. God is faithful. We've just seen God being faithful to Cherie, and we've seen God being faithful to Rolf and them. But he will make the nations our inheritance. What is an inheritance? Yes? Erfborsi? What do you call that in English? It's called an inheritance. So it is something that will remain. If you're not here, it will keep on going on to the next generation and the generation thereafter and the generation thereafter. Can you feel that this is a massive responsibility upon us as the church? Amen? And to the ends of the earth, your portion. Next one. So how do we go about it? Now that we know that God is calling us, that we need to be the voice in our marketplace, in our social environment, and wherever we find ourselves, how will we go about it? We need God's heart. Friends, if we do not understand this, if our heart isn't beating in sync with God's heart, we will never grasp this. We will never understand that God wants generations and nations to come to salvation, that all men needs to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? So this is my challenge to us this morning. I don't want you to stand. I don't want to expose you. I want you to make right within your heart now. If your heart doesn't beat in sync, if your heart doesn't beat one with the one who has come to save you, I want you to repent. I want you to repent. There are many a times, and it just depends on the season that I find myself in. Sometimes I'm up there, sometimes I'm down here, sometimes I'm down below there. But one thing that carries me through is Jesus Christ. But what I also find myself, if I need to be completely honest with myself, it's not that my faith is wavering. It means this, that I find myself sometimes so consumed with my own silly things within my own life that my heart doesn't beat one with the things of God anymore, because I'll first want to sort out my own things, and then, all right, Lord, once this is sorted out, then I'll start going that side again. Am I speaking truth? So here where we are now, I just want us, just for 30 seconds, can we just repent before God? And can we just say, Lord, for we are sorry for our hearts not beating one with you. And when you've repented, then you pray this, Father, will you make my heart beat one with yours? For I give my heart freely to you in this day. What is the second thing that we need? We need prayer. We need prayer. I'm going to be transparent with you. When I find myself in certain seasons, there are times when I don't want to pray. I don't want to pray. And then I find myself fighting against my spirit man and my fleshly man, and they are just warring at each other, and sometimes my fleshly man wins. And I know deep within me that, JJ, you should have prayed. You should have gone on your knees, irrespective of what you feel, irrespective of where you find yourself or what you think, you should have prayed. And I sometimes find myself not praying as much as what I ought to pray. Am I speaking truth? Is it resonating? Thank you so much. There's one thing that the church today has lost, and that is prayer. We do not give ourselves, we do not devote time to prayer, because we always want to hear. We always want God just to be this McDonald's type delivery, scooter pizza type of guy. Within 30 minutes, we want our prayer to be answered. We want our lives to be sorted out. But when you really just go and read the Word of God, you will actually see that God works with most of the prophets over years. And when we read the Word, we think it's like tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, and things like that. But there is time gaps. There are time periods in between it. We just see Elijah going praying for rain, and he had to persevere. He sent up his little this little servant that he had. He sent this poor guy up 7 times on top of a mountain. For what? To go and see if there's a cloud. I think after the 6th time, this small little guy running up this mountain must have been saying, "God Almighty, just listen to his prayers. Please, 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 please." Hey? I think at the 7th time when he saw the cloud, he goes, "Yes! Yeah!" And he came down and said, "Okay, great. Elijah, stop praying for there's a cloud." Hallelujah. Well, that's to get a guy to pray. But what am I saying is, even Elijah had to persevere in praying. Even yet, he didn't see it the very first time, second time, third time. But he only saw it the 7th time. Amen? So what I want us to do is this. I know that we all don't pray as much as we should. Can we make a recommitment this morning to God and just say, "Lord, forgive me. I repent. For this is an area in my life that has been lacking. And Father, in the prophetic season where you have us and you are telling us to ask me or to ask you, Father, we repent. Father, today we make a stance in saying, Lord, for we will devote our time to praying and seeking your face more intently." Can we do that? All right. Can we do that for 30 seconds? Good. What do we need? Thirdly, we need boldness. We need boldness. I lack boldness in Virgin Active. I lack boldness. And most of the times I'm a bold guy, but this was hard. We need boldness to preach or to speak about Jesus. You see, we always think that when we talk about preach, is that we need to have a sermon. And that's why I said speaking, is because where we find ourselves, wherever we find ourselves, in marketplace, social place, wherever, it doesn't always mean that you need to stand and preach the Word of God to them. No. All that you need to do is you need to listen. And then whatever they respond, whatever their complaint, whatever their burden is, you can speak life into that area of their lives. And you can bring life. So you don't always need to have the greatest sermon, but you can just speak. You can just be who you are. And you know what? The more you find yourself in the quiet place, in the mornings, The more you find yourself reading the Word, the more you find yourself just spending more time in the presence of God, the more you will be able and the more you will have to give. Because it is the overflow of Christ that will touch people around you. Amen? Amen. So can we repent? Because I need to repent. Not I need to repent so that you need to repent, but in any case, you know what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is, can we repent as a people and say, Lord, I haven't stepped out in boldness. But this day I repent, Lord, and I ask you that you will fill me with boldness. Lord, so that I can see and that I will be part of your kingdom coming and that your will be done in the area or in the spheres of influence that I find myself. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to be your mouthpiece in Jesus' name. Can we pray that? And then fourthly, and ending off with this, it's in our finances. Jacinta and myself, we visited a church last week just to go and see how they do things. And one thing we came to realize is this, is that the church needs finance. The church needs finance. You will never hear a prosperity gospel being preached from here. We will never do that. But one thing I can tell you is where your heart is, or where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. I can tell you that if reaching nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and planting churches, if that is at the heart of your, if that is at the center of your heart, and if you are on mission with this movement, Shofar, and if we find ourselves in this prophetic call where we are now, what we need to do is we need to put our finances behind this as well. We will need to be putting our finances because the Muslims are getting it right. We have got people outside of these doors that are getting it right and they are overtaking the world. Why? Because they understand something about unity. If they say we want to put a mosque up, guess what? There'll be a mosque. Within the next couple of weeks, a mosque will be there. And they will move, I can't say heaven and hell, but they will move hell in other places to get that mosque up so that there's a place of worship for their people. Why? Because they know as soon as they are in a community, they've got influence in that community. And as soon as you've got influence in that community, you can take the community. And this is one thing that the church has yet not gotten right. Because we preach a prosperity gospel instead of a God-hearted gospel with regards to finance. Amen. So this is where we need to get it right, church. The church, we need your finance. Not to build a house, not to drive the next Porsche, not for me and my wife to go on a vacation into the Alps to go and ski. We need your finance to advance the kingdom of God so that we can go and plant a church within a community that is desperate, in desperate need of Christ, so that we can be the influence in that community. Because as soon as Christ is influence and he radiates his beauty and his aroma, we know that we've got that community redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen. So can I ask, can we, you know your heart with regards to giving. If you want to commit to more, you committed to Christ now. I loved what you brought this morning, Philip. If we have, we can give. If we don't have, don't feel condemned by not giving. But if you have something to give, give something. Because it's in your abundance that you will give to somebody who lacks no spiritual blessing. But as you give, their blessing will be returned for your good. Amen. So can we just pray? Can we just ask God just to change our hearts? Can we get focused? Can we get behind this prophetic call of what God has for us with regards to our finance? Can we give 30 seconds for that? We just go to that song too. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance to the ends of the earth and your possessions. I want us all just to stand. And I want you to think of this, that we have a church plant in Utrecht coming up. We've got a church, or we've got a lot of networking churches within Malawi, and we've got a lot of, where's the other one? In Himalayas, networking in the Himalayas. I want us to just stretch out our hands towards this globe, because this is just basically a contact point of where we're just going to say, Lord, our hearts are for the nations. Father, for we have aligned our hearts with you this morning. Father, we have aligned our prayers with you this morning. Father, we have aligned our lives in boldness with you this morning. And we have aligned our finances with you this morning. Father, as we hold up the nations before you, Father, we ask of you, Father, to open doors, to create platforms, to make hearts that are stone, hearts of flesh. Father, we ask of you now in Jesus' name that you will give unto us the nations for our inheritance in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask of you that with a church plant in Utrecht, Lord, with the networking churches in Malawi, and with the networking pastors within the Himalayas, Lord, we ask of you in the name of Christ that you will anoint these people. Father, we pray that you will touch their eyes and their ears and their understanding. Father, that they will hear you and see you, and that they will understand what you are saying to them. Father, we ask of you that your kingdom will come and that your will be done in these people and through them in Christ's name. Lord, that wherever their feet will tread, whatever their hands will touch, wherever they will speak, that it will be fruit for your kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we say thank you that you will give them favor in the hearts of all men. And we say thank you, Father, that ancient gates will be opened, and that the King of Glory will enter, and that the King of Glory will come and make his rightful place within the nations and within those three areas, Lord, where we are now reaching out to. All glory and all honor be unto you, King Jesus, forever and ever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. 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 You can give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. Friends, we've come to the end of our service. I sense that there is a true presence of God's Spirit here this morning. It's 5 minutes past 11. I want us to sing one more song. Is that cool? Is that fine with you? Yep. All right. And I want us to sing that, what's the last song that we just sang? The Breath. That's it, that one. And what we need to do is I just want us just to focus upon Him. Just focus upon Him. Once we've finished, if there is anyone here this morning that needs prayer, there's anyone who needs ministering, there will be a team of ministers in front here this morning. We will gladly just sit with you and pray with you and just stand in faith with you this morning. If there's anybody here this morning who has yet not made Jesus Christ his Lord and Savior, we would love to meet with you. And we would love just to introduce this King of Glory unto you. Friends, if there are Christians here this morning, those who have given their lives to Jesus, and you find yourself in a position of where you are not following him, where you find yourself just falling into sin, you find yourself in a deep place where you just can't get yourself out of, remember the word says this to you and to me. He says that if we repent, God will be faithful and true, restore us back unto our righteous state. I want to encourage you this morning, if that's you, come forward. Not come forward. After the service, you're more than welcome. Come speak to us, please. We would love to pray with you. We would love to see you being restored back unto your righteous position within Jesus Christ. And the devil just stopping to condemn you on the things that you are not getting right. Amen? Amen? Great. So can we get the lights? Can we just dim the lights a little bit? Did you enjoy this morning's service? Oh my smack, did you enjoy this morning's service? God is good. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Amen.